to the Crosspoint Podcast, a listener support ministry of Crosspoint Alliance Church. Hi, I'm Pastor C, and it is a joy that you're joining us today. God has a special message for you. We want to encourage you to take some notes, but most of all, to open your heart. God wants to speak to you.
God is good, and all the time.
God is good.
All right. What a joy and privilege it is to be here this morning and to preach the first sermon of the series. How amazing is that? Wow, this is I think my Bible's a little too heavy, so I'm just going to set it to the side. All right. Ugh. Man, worship was amazing this morning. I don't know about you, but I love praying for the families around us, and I love praying for the city, right? I mean, right now, Charlotte is crazy, right? I mean, Seahawks are in town, and it's 1 o'clock. I know some of you guys are probably anxious. I promise I won't go long, all right? But it's the city itself is in an uproar, right? I mean, think about it. They're in the playoffs. Right? They only lost one game, and but how amazing it is for us to be here just to pray for the people out there, isn't it? Well, may the fourth be with you. as we dive into this new sermon series of family, right? Families, what is your status? What is our role as family, right? We have role as children. We have role as parents, right? We have role as grandparents. And we have role as spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers. I mean, when we think about family, it's like a never-ending status or title for who you are, isn't it? I mean, you're like a second to third cousin of somebody, you know, and whatnot. And it's just a big tree that we just kind of look at and say, oh, everything's kind of connected. So what is family? So before we kind of really dive into the Word of God, I want to welcome you into my world of who I am and how I grew up and what my status was, I guess, as I was growing up. As you all know, I'm not white or black or I'm Korean, right? Woo, right? Born in 1989. Some of you guys are like, wow, I graduated high school there. Anyways, so born in 1989, back in South Korea in Seoul at October 21st, I think 7 p.m. or something. I asked my mom. I was like, 7 p.m. And it was a good day, right? But before that, can I share a little grace story? This has nothing to do with the sermon, right? But I want to put somebody on blast because it's my wife's birthday today. Yeah. How amazing is that? I get to preach on my wife's birthday. That is awesome, right? She's like, yeah, woo. Anyways, she's turning 27, right? Yes, 27, and it's amazing. I am blessed beyond my words of who our God is through her. But let me just show you some pictures, and please promise me that you won't blackmail me with these pictures, all right? Because they have access to them right now, and don't go back there and be like, can you save these? Let's see. Can you go to the first picture? Because I don't think this is working. No, there it is. Oh, yeah, that's me. That's me at 77 days. 77 days. I don't know why. My mom sent me this picture and was like, oh, yeah, that's 77 days. Oh, that's me. With my cousin, and yes, I did wear a lot of pink when I was little. That's I couldn't find the one picture where I was literally wearing like a purple overall, and it was like poofy. It was, anyway, that's my dad and my and me. Again, I'm wearing pink. I think my mom really wanted a girl. I mean, that's just, anyways, that's me playing the guitar, I guess. Oh yeah, there's me playing the violin, the piano, and the violin. I think that was second grade. I think that's third grade. And that says some Korean letterings on it. This is me in Russia. My dad was a missionary in Russia for 10 years. And it's cold up there, guys. I mean, I have all these like animal rights activists like come to me, right? And they're like, you used to wear fur hats? I'm like, yes, I did, because it's cold up there. You got to have it, right? Anyways, I haven't seen any Russians who are objective against that. So if you're offended, I'm sorry. That's me and my friends Drew and I forget the other guy's name. That's in Kansas, all right? And I think that was in fifth grade, if I'm correct. I have to tell you this story because this is so funny. I did not realize it until I got older. My dad and I, we made that star, right, for Christmas. And I did not realize that it was David's star. We're like, oh, okay, that's not bad, you know. Anyways, oh, that's my mom and dad, you know, when they got married. And I think there's a video of them. Hold on. Oh, there it is. I guess, can you click on the video? Is that possible? If it's not, it's okay. Those are my parents now. This was past Christmas. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they beautiful? I mean, I love my parents. They're great role models for me. When I was born, this is a really funny story. When I was born, my dad was I came out like 7 days late, right? So if you're in water, what happens to you for a long time? You shrivel, right? I came out shriveled, basically, first of all. My dad thought I was somebody else's baby, and he was depressed for 7 days. I'm not even kidding. This is a true story. He said, I was depressed for 7 days because I thought you were somebody else's son. It's really funny. My dad was in Russia. Anyways, my dad was in Russia for 10 years, and my father's relationship with God was so close. I mean, he left my mother, right, and went to Russia for 10 years as missions. In out of obedience. And when I think about that, and I sit here as I'm older, as I'm married now, and I don't know if I have the faith to do that as the same as him. If God called me to say, go to Africa or go to, you know, some other state for 10 years and, you know, serve me there as mission, separated from your wife. Oh, man. That takes guts and obedience. Let's just say, God, I'm here to serve you. You know, there's two distinctive memories that I cherish of my father. Is that my dad, you know, he came back from Russia, and one night I was sleeping, and he came back, and he woke me up and surprised me with the skateboard. I was like, Dad, thank you. You know, and I also remember traveling with him to many different places because he was a worship leader. And back in the day, you know, the curry wasn't, you know, very developed. And the worship band that he traveled with was actually equivalent to our Bethel and Hillsong now. And it's amazing. And he actually traveled here in the U.S. as well from Cali to New York. And, you know, I came to the States when I was in 2000. And I came to Cali first, Missouri, Kansas, then moved to Chicago, went to New York, Pennsylvania, and now I'm here. So I've been around, right? I've been around. And it's amazing because as I grow up and as I see myself now and as I see the children running around, right? Oh, we can take that off now. Sorry. As I see the children running around, I see there are three types of children, right? Three types of children. First one is the children who really, actually, truly obey from the bottom of their heart, right? They're, you know those children, right? Even if it's not your own child, right? You know there's somebody out there that is like, truly obey from the bottom of their heart. And then there's a second type. What do you think it is? Sometimes. Not sometimes, but they don't obey at all. Just disobey completely, right? I mean, it's like, they're flat out, no. Do the dishes. No, Mom. I'm not doing the dishes, right? And then there's a third type. And I like to look at the third type as a dangerous type. I say that because I'm that type. Growing up, I was that type. That type is doing it on the outside, but in the inside, really not having that joy and not doing it out of honor. I say that's a dangerous type because you can't see the inside. You can't know what's going on inside a heart until, you know, somebody actually shows them, saying, this is wrong. You know, growing up in the church, my dad's a pastor, so I grew up in my church our whole life. I mean, literally, from before my birth. Right? I mean, I grew up in the church my whole life as a pastor's kid, and I learned one thing, to be that third type. That's what I learned. I learned how to mimic the act of obedience. Right? I learned how to say, yes, I will do this. Yes, I'll clean up the chairs. Yes, I will do this. But inside my heart, I was just so angry saying, why are they asking me to do this? Why are you asking me to do this? You know, I had to act in a certain way to get that recognition, say that I'm a pastor's kid. You had to be good. Right? You had to be good. That was the case for me. I mean, it's like, if I wasn't good, then what happened? My parents got all the blame. Right? I mean, they got all the blame. And it's just like, so I had to act in a way that was good. That was good. When I was on the worship team, you know, I went to 5 a.m. services. Did you guys know that Koreans are crazy? And they wake up at 4 in the morning, go to church by 5 a.m., and pray for an hour, and go, and go to work? I'm like, how do you do that? Well, I did that for like 1 year, and I was like, Mom and Dad, I'm done. I can't do it. Right? And I was serving as a youth leader all the while. In my heart, there was void. No joy. There was no fruit that was growing inside my heart, because that was no true obedience. It was not the obedience that God was seeking. You know, if I were to be truly honest to myself, and I'm going to say this, I hated going to church. I did. I hated going to church, because church for me was a place where people hid behind their masks. See, church for me was a place where people just came and just smiled and worshiped and left. And it was all empty to me. So having seen that, I hated going to church. I didn't want to go to church, but I was forced to go to church. I think I missed one time in my whole high, from 0 years to my end of my high school career, one time, because I was deathly ill. Even before that, if I had a little like fever, Mom and Dad would be like, oh, it's okay, come to church with me. You know, I'm like, I don't want to go. But it was a place that I did not want to go. You know, that same behavior of church, guess where it bled through? It bled through in my home, to my parents. Think about it. If you're doing it in one place, you're going to do it in another place, right? You're going to do it at school. You're going to do it at home. On the outside, I acted like I was obeying them, my parents. But in my heart, nothing. You know, when you do something over and over and over and over and over and over again, that you start to convince yourself that it's right. You guys know what I'm talking about? That it's like lying, right? For example, lying. You lie one time and you get away with it, right? And then what happens? You're like, I got away with it. And then you do it over and you do it over until you convince yourself that what you're saying is right. You know, I remember one time I lied to my mom, and I was at a supermarket, and I stole a candy, right? I went, put it in my pocket, and I was like this in the supermarket. I was like, hey, Mom. And she's like, you know, if you're a mother, you know there's something wrong with the child. I mean, you know he has done something wrong, or, you know, she has done something wrong. I was like, hey, Mom. And she's like, what'd you do? And I'm like, nothing, you know? And she's like, what's in your pocket? I'm like, nothing, Mom. There's nothing in my pocket. What are you talking about? She goes, oh, yeah? Show me. And I was like, sorry, Mom. And then, you know what she did that I never, ever stole again? She took me to the police station. Literally dragged me to the police station and said, this kid stole. Please handcuff him. And I think I was crying. You know, I think I was crying. I don't remember. All I remember is a police station. Right? You know, I tell you that. Why am I telling you these stories? Just so that you can laugh, you know, just so that you can say, you remember that time, you know, and blackmail me. No, I tell you these stories because I sucked at being a child. I was a horrible son. I tell you this because I am not a good person when it comes to being a child. I am not a good son, and I admit that. And it's hard for me to say that, you know, because I thought I was a good child. I thought I was a good son. You know, for a long time, I was convinced myself that. But the reality is different, you know. And my main focus was to please the people around me so that they look at me as I am a good person. That I'm a good person. And I know most of us are... Sometimes we have that, don't we? I don't understand the concept of what true obedience really was. And do I say that I don't struggle with that today. No, I do still struggle with that. I don't like it when people don't like me. I really don't. If you don't like me, then I have to go up and confront you and say, why don't you like me? Like me, please. Please like me. Please like me. But that's not obedience. I was obeying out of fear that people wouldn't like me, and God doesn't look at that as true obedience. You know, as you have guessed that, you know, that acting, right, that theatrical acting that I did growing up, it affected my relationship with God too. Don't you think so? If it affected me at church, affected me at home, affected me at school, I mean, this is going to be affected too, obviously. I thought I was good with God. I thought I was going to, you know, going to church was good enough. I thought doing the dishes was good enough. You know, I thought being nice to my parents was good enough. I thought I was a good son. But here is something that I realized. Excuse me. Obedience is not going to church. Obedience is not lifting your hands in worship. Obedience is not doing good works. Obedience is not doing the chores around the house. That's not what obedience is. But what we have to come to realize is that obedience is worship. Obedience, at the core point of what obedience is, obeying somebody who has a higher authority than you. Children, listen. Your parents have higher authority than you. You have to understand that. They are your mom and dad for a reason. God put them in your life so that you can worship God through obeying them. There's a big difference between acting out and really truly obeying and as an act of worship, as a form of worship. You know, this is simple truth that we all know, right? I mean, it's in the back of our heads. It's something that we grew up with and understand. But I think it's something that we all need to rehear again, that saying that obedience is actually worship. It's a form of worship, not just as children, but as parents as well. The sad and simple truth is that it took me 25 years and being married to understand that. It took me 25 years to truly understand that obedience is worship, but I still struggle with it. Open up to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And it's going to be up on the screen as well. Let's read it together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live along in the land. First thing I know for sure from this passage is that God desires obedience. Right? He desires obedience. He wants us to obey. That's his desire for us children. Right? From the very first verse, God gives a direct command, say, children, obey your commands, for this is right. He doesn't say, you could obey if you want to. You know, it might be right or wrong. He doesn't give an indirect command. He says, direct command, obey your parents. Parents do the same thing, don't they? When they say to, you know, parents, you know what I'm talking about? Do you say, you could clean your room if you want to. Right? you don't say, you could do the dishes if you want to. I mean, if you're younger and smart enough and you know how to read between the lines, you know what that truly means, you know? But what do parents say? They say, do the dishes, right? Clean your room. Or go mow the lawn or something like that, right? It's a direct command. You know, God gives us this direct command to obey. This obedience that we need to understand is that it's not something that this world has made up and said we need to do, or something that, you know, that it's, some, you know, that's not of God. No, obedience is of God. It is something that God gives us command to do. So here's a key phrase, for this is right. For this is right. To God, obeying as a child is the right thing to do because it pleases him. Because obedience is worship. This obedience isn't exclusively just to obeying the parents, but this obedience is to God as well, isn't it? You know, parents, this is a very hard sermon for me. I had to step away multiple times preparing the sermon. And it's a very short sermon, but it's something that I realized as I was writing that God has given me amazing parents to me. And God has given me the opportunity to obey. But I didn't take that opportunity. You know, I had to repent so many times just as I was writing. Just to say, God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry for not obeying the parents that you have given me. Because it's not about me if I want to do things or not. It's not about me if I really want, you know. It's not about me. But it was all about God who has given me the parents. So it's hard for me to preach the sermon because I realize that I have an amazing father and mother. I realize it. I see it. No many times they have yelled at me, no many times how many, you know, holding up 5 gallons of water above my head, you know, or, yeah, that's how my dad punished me when I was little. A little older, not like, you know, second or third grade, you know, but I had, you know, like in junior high, I did something bad. I'm not going to tell you what it was. you know, I fail to worship the one who gave me my parents. And that realization of failing God, it's like, oh, it's heart-wrenching. Each time I'm doing the dishes is worship because that's obeying. Each time I'm cleaning my room is worship because I'm obeying. Each time going to bed on time is worship because it's obedience. If you read verses 2 and 3, you know, God says obeying isn't enough, right? What's the other word that you see? Honor. Honor. I love that word. Right? If you were in the military, I'm sure you know what that all means, you know, and I don't think we all understand what truly honor means. Because when I was younger, I obeyed without the right attitude. I obeyed without the right attitude. You know, you could clean your room without a smile or joyful heart. That's not honor. Honoring parents has to do something with attitude of respect. Honoring God has to do something with attitude of respect. And I think that's something that we don't do enough these days. I went to a Roman Catholic church for my school, right? I had to go there and write a paper about it. And there was something that I took away from that church. And that was the honor and the awe and the reverence of God. There was that aspect. Everything else, I mean, I was like, whoa, kind of taken back by it. But there was that true reverence of who God is and honoring Him from the bottom of their hearts. Understanding that the Scripture is not just words, but understanding that the Scripture is actually the words of God. And they understood that. We don't have enough of that in our churches today, let alone in our families. Honoring God, He receives our most highest respect, doesn't He? He is our God, the Creator, the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. He's the one who created us. He's the one that created each single one of you here. He's the one that allowed your mom to birth you into this world. And if we don't have that honor and respect for our God, then how can we have honor and respect for authority here in this earth? It's not possible. So when we talk about honor, it's not just something that we just kind of brush it off and say, eh, it's whatever. But the honor, understanding that God deserves all honor, that God designed us children to honor and obey our parents. It's His design. There's a reason why God gave a hierarchy to our family. I hate that word, but I'm going to use it. There's a reason why God gave a hierarchy. The parents are first, and the children must obey the parents. Period. I'm not saying this so that because honoring and obeying is easy. I'm not saying that. It's hard. I went through it. I hated obeying. But I did it anyways with a hatred heart. And that's a wrong idea. But it's the responsibility. It's our responsibility as Christians. It's our responsibility as parents. It's our responsibility as children to honor and obey. Now, parents, I don't want to take away from Pastor Matt's sermon next week about how to be a parent, right? But you have the responsibility, if you look at this verse 2 and 3, you have the responsibility to instruct them in God's ways. That's your responsibility, to instruct your child into who God is. Taking the time to help them understand God is God, right? Think about it. If you yourself is not following the commands of God, then how do you expect your children to follow the commands of God? Right? And I don't want to take too much away from Pastor Matt, but if you yourself are not following the commands of God, not reading the Bible, and showing that example, then to say to your child, read your Bible, that's foolish, isn't it? That's really foolish. But to really show that example and to give your child the ways of God and instructing them, I think that is the responsibility of parents. You know, but one thing is for sure, that it applies to all of us. That our responsibility is to love and obey God. Is to love and obey God. God has commanded children to obey parents, and God has commanded all of us to obey God. Obey and honor God. Obey and honor God. Obey and honor God. Because that is His desire. That's His heart's desire for all of us here today. Again, this honoring, we need to do better. This obeying, we need to do better. Because obedience is worship. Honoring is worship. It's not just some mere thing that we just do, but it's actually worship. It's saying, God, I love you through that obedience. Before we close, and like I said, it's going to be a short sermon, I want to do something special. I want to do something very special, and that's why one of the reasons I asked the children to stay. Children, I want you to pray for your parents. All right, so if you're not with your parents right now, go with your parents. And I want you to just kind of gently put your hand on their back. Okay? Just gently put your hand on their back. All right? Gently put your hand on their back. And I want to ask you to pray for your parents. Specifically, right, that your parents would follow God all of their lives. Okay? That they would follow God all of their lives. For those of us who are not parents, you know, whose parents are not here but somewhere else, right? Pray for them as well. Okay, pray for them as well, because I'm praying for them. My parents are in Pennsylvania. Rachel's parents are in New York, right? And we got to pray for our parents, no matter how. See, the word children in here, it has no age limit. It's not like God said, okay, the children is from 0 to 10. He didn't set an age limit. No, the children that God explains here, it's limitless. It's age is limitless. As long as we're parents alive, we got to obey them, right? So for those of whose parents are not here or somewhere else, right, pray for them. For those of us who are older and their parents are no longer with us, pray for the children that are growing up here in this church. Right? Pray for them. Because they're the future of the church. Not only that, they're the future leaders that need to grow up in God's hands, right? And if you're an older woman and, you know, men here that, you know, who are just visiting with us here today, you know, or been here for a long time, that you're actually the spiritual fathers and mothers of this church. See, it's like I said in the beginning, it's this never-ending, what do you call it, tree, thank you, of title and just saying that everything is so connected, especially in the family of God. See, honoring your parents, children, and obeying them doesn't stop at cleaning the dishes or doing laundry or whatnot. It actually doesn't stop there. Hey, honoring your parents is all about praying for them, encouraging them. And I know that, you know, for all of you children, you have seen your parents, you know, down and sad, right? In those times, what do? You encourage them, right? You encourage them saying, Dad, it's going to be all right. Mom, it's going to be all right. And parents, pray for your kids, but also receive that prayer that your kids are praying for you. And I pray that all of us, that this would be a practical practice. That's, you know, if that works. Practical thing that you do at home. Have your kids pray for you. You know, I think the church has misunderstood the idea of we got to pray for the kids. We got to pray for the kids. We got to pray for the kids. Well, what better way for your kids to practice praying for you? Right? I think it's great that we do that. So if you would just close your eyes with me. And kids, just lay your hands on your parents, you know, and your mom and dad, and say, you know, and just get in the back and just pray for them. Just pray for them. Let's pray together. God, we honor you. We want to come to a place of understanding that, God, honoring you is awe. It's reverence. It's that deep desire of respect, and our attitude is right. God, I pray for the kids here today. God, I pray for the kids that as they grow up, that they would see that obedience is worship. That they would understand that honoring is worship. Although it's hard time to time, but they would grow up to be leaders that truly obey you and worship you. Can I pray for the parents that they would cultivate their kids, that they would cultivate their children, that they would lead their sons and daughters into your presence always. God, I pray for all the spiritual mothers and fathers here that we would be an example at this church, knowing that we are there, always there for them. God, I mean, we first and foremost, we thank you for family. And God, we worship you and we praise you because you honor family, because you desire a healthy family. Because you designed family. It's not something that this world created, but God, it is something that you created for a specific purpose. So that we as Cross Point family, not only that, as individual families here, would be a light in their community. Showing them what healthy family looks like, God, because there's so many broken families in this world. There's so many broken families in this world, God. And let us be that light. Because God, you're a healer. Because Jesus, you're a healer. You can heal broken families. You can mend broken families. And we believe that. So God, we thank you for this series, God, understanding what family is, what our role is. That our role, first and foremost in a family, whether parent or child, is to obey, is to honor. So God, we thank you. We love you. And God, as we go out this week, let us be that light and salt that you have called us to be. That you would use us, God, in every opportunity that we get, Lord, that we would not miss it to worship you and obey you. And to honor you. So people of God, receive the blessings of God. Receive his grace. That may his face shine upon you. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216. Or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.